We're reading parts of Exodus 35 and 36. I'm beginning to read at Exodus 35, verse 20. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins dyed red, or other durable leather, brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work of the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. And now, chapter 36, verse 1. So Bezalel, Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. This is the word of the Lord.
My name's Bob Steele. I'm one of the readers here at St. Giles. Good morning to you all. Morning. We're in the middle of the series Discipleship Unwrapped. Last week, Steve spoke to us about giving our all in his talk. This week, we're looking at giving our treasure. But firstly, let's remind ourselves where we are in the story. Exodus 35 and 36. The nation of Israel is wandering around in the desert. At this point, the Israelites were aware that God was with them. They had experienced his presence with them. And God had told them via Moses that they were to make a dwelling place for the presence of God when he was in their midst. Something that could be packed up like a tent. There should even be a very early photograph of the tabernacle. They would obviously had invented colour photography in those days. That's amazing. This is actually a replica that was built in Israel in the desert there. So we've got a very large tent made of canvas and animal skins and wood. Something that could be packed up, put on the back of an animal and carried around with them. They called it the tabernacle. The Hebrew word that we translate as tabernacle literally means a habitation or a dwelling place. So it's this context, the construction and decoration of the tabernacle that we're looking at today. And we're looking at it with regard to our title, Sharing Our Treasure. Now, many people at this point will be expecting me to say, you've got lots of money, why don't you give us lots of money? But it's not that simple. What I'd like to do today is to look at all aspects of our giving. Everything that we can give of ourselves to God's work. And the first thing to say is, and it's a very, very important principle, is that the Israelites had been made clear to them that they were not under compulsion to give. Time and time again, the quotes are, everyone who was willing and whose heart moved came and brought an offering to the Lord. And again, whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. And again, all who are of a willing heart bought brooches and earrings, signet rings and armlets. So anybody got any earrings today they'd like to donate? Not many armlets, I'm guessing. Armlets, I think, are those things that go around here, am I right? I think they are. So over and over again in this passage, they were told that it was to be a free will offering. And that's a principle that we can take on board as well, that our giving is to be an outflow of the love that God has shown for us and of our desire to give back to him what he has already given to us. But some might say it's ancient history. That's thousands and thousands of years ago. What relevance has it got for me today in 21st century Northampton? So I had a little think, and I think I've come up with something that there are some people here who will remember this. Hands up if anybody was alive during the Second World War. There we go. There will be some people that remember this story. So we should have a video that's going to play now. So let's watch. It's a very short video, but let's see if it will play.
It's the charge of the Light Brigade. But this time, Mr. and Mrs. John Citizen are charging into centres all over England with their light metal aluminium, which is so urgently required for aeroplane construction.
Thank you, Sonny.
I didn't know they were making jerry helmets out of aluminium.
There we are. Something that actually happened within the living memory of some of us here today. So a brief history lesson for the younger ones among us. And in some ways this illustrates, I think, what the Exodus story was talking about. Something that happened in World War II. We should have a picture of an aeroplane taken at Cyril Aerodrome about 2 weeks ago. Anybody know what this is? Hands up. Alison, not as though you've been primed. What is it, Alison? It is a Supermarine Spitfire, which is based at Sidwell Aerodrome. Okay. Hands up if you know what a Spitfire was mainly made out of. Yes. Aluminium. Or if we're Americans, aluminum. Made out of aluminium. So this is the story of the Second World War drive for people to give their precious aluminium cooking pots, and you saw that there were piles and piles and piles. There were literally mountains of aluminium that were collected. In London, there was a picture of a mountain of aluminium pots and pans that was 10 yards wide, enormous, and they all went to be melted down. And they were all aimed at being melted down and made into Spitfires. During the Second World War, this nation was under attack. We were at risk of invasion by the Germans. No change then. Controversial. So the Spitfires and the Hawker Hurricanes, I haven't got a picture of a hurricane, but similar looking to the Spitfire, were the only thing that were separating our freedom from the invading nations. And we needed more Spitfires. So we collected aluminium, we collected them to be made into new Spitfires to protect us from harm. There was going to be a German invasion, and it was the men and women who flew and maintained the Spitfires that were the main defence from that attack. And if you've never seen the film, and it may well be that some of the younger ones among us, this is all news to you. Actually, looking around, there's not that many young ones here this morning. But if you've never seen the film, The Battle of Britain, go and... Emily, have you ever seen the Battle of Britain film? Download it off Tinternet this evening or this afternoon and have a watch, because it's probably one of the best 10 films ever made, in my opinion. So, brief aside, this coming week, talking about European issues, it's arguably one of the most important weeks this nation has faced. Now, whether you are on the leave side or you are on the remain side, there's no doubt that this coming week is potentially going to be one of the most important weeks since the Second World War. So, whichever side you're on, I would ask you to continue to pray that God will take control of the whole Brexit situation, that he will be sovereign in this land. Let's continue to pray there. So after that briefing, so we're back to the topic of giving. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is calling on the churches of his day to give. And I can't help but wonder whether the language that he uses is actually based on the language that Moses and the Old Testament uses in Exodus. Just listen to this. Paul says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." That's good to know. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I don't know about you, but there are a number of sayings that are mentioned quite frequently. And I, in back of my head, for some reason, thought this was one of them. But it's actually not. It actually is in the Bible. But I did come across this poll from some teenagers in America. And they were asked, what's your favourite Bible verse? And I'm just going to ask you, see if you think this is true or not. In the top 10, under favourite Bible verses, this is, God helps those who help themselves. Now, hands up if you think that is in the Bible. Give you a clue. It's not in the Bible. How about this one then? Cleanliness is next to godliness. No. Hate the sin and love the sinner. No, that's not there either. So in the top 10 favourite Bible verses, three of them weren't actually in the Bible. But you'd be pleased to know that God loves a cheerful giver is... God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm happy to tell you that there are many, many reasons to be cheerful. Do you remember that song, Ian Dury and the Blockheads, Reason to Be Cheerful? I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. There are many, many ministries here at St. Giles. Now, there are so many ministries going on that I, myself, I'm sure, don't know all of them. Most of us here won't know all of the ministries going on. There are many, many ministries. People are giving of their time. They're giving of their money. They're giving of their resources, all to work for God's kingdom. We have a slide that shows the three T's. So three ways that we can give. All our treasure in their own way. We can give our time. We can give our talents. We all have skills. All of us have skills that we can give to the work of God. And we can give our treasure, our money. So if you've got any gold or silver tucked away, now's a good time. The three T's, time, talents, and treasure. Now, I do think we have to be careful. It's very important that people standing up here don't try and send us all on a guilt trip to try and make you feel guilty. Oh, I'm not giving enough. I should give more. Or even the prosperity gospel that tries to link our giving to what we receive from God, to try and make it that the more we give, the more blessings we will receive, in that kind of linked way. And that's not true either. But we do have to be careful not to go so far in the other direction that we think, well, I haven't had the Holy Spirit speak to me about this, or I haven't felt any warm and fuzzy feelings that I must do X, Y, or Z for God's work. The sort of blinding light moment that we have to do something for God. And we often hear about, talks about the Holy Spirit, talks about God's work in the world today. But do we recall who the first person in the Bible was to be recorded as being filled by the Spirit? Does anybody remember? It's in the reading today. It was Bezalel. Bezalel in Exodus 31, a few chapters before our reading today, God said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with ability, and knowledge of all kinds of crafts." So God blessed Bezalel's work, his physical skills, his mind, his body, and his knowledge. So the tabernacle and the building of it needed people with technical skills. They needed to know how to use various materials, canvas, leather, wood, precious metals, etc. For example, and again it was in the reading today, the wood that they used in the making of the tabernacle was made from, anybody know what tree? The acacia tree. We should even have a picture of an acacia tree in the desert. Now, it's just as well that the acacia wood is ideal for building because, to be honest, it's pretty much the only tree that grows in the desert. It's a very strong, very hard, very long-lasting, durable wood. And they used it for making the supports of the tabernacle. So in God's economy, there are many, many people. Each of us have our own skills and gifts. But we need builders, we need engineers to carry out the practical tasks of building for the kingdom of God, building for God's kingdom. And at times we need them, believe it or not, just as much as we need preachers or worship leaders. We need to be obedient to what God is calling each of us individually to do. But we know people are busy. People lead busy lives. We all do. We don't have time to do what we would like to do what we feel called to do. But if that's the case, is it possible that we might need to rethink our priorities so that God's work comes higher up in our lives? Do you ever think to yourself, I'll wait till I'm retired, then I'll have time to work for God? And I can say that because I'm now retired. But let's work for God before we've retired. So, in conclusion, how can we serve God? Could we serve on a team? There are many, many teams here. Some of them we see on a Sunday morning, like the people that make the refreshments. They need people to help. We've seen the children go over to the church centre today. They're all being led by adults, but they need more people to help with the children's work. Saturday for seniors is coming up on a Saturday, believe it or not. They need people to help. Do you have practical or admin skills that you could offer in the office or elsewhere? Importantly, could you commit to pray every single action, every single ministry of God's kingdom needs prayer. It needs prayer backup. It needs prayer support. Could you commit to pray? Could you give financially? Have you money that could be given for God's work? Could you give by direct debit so that there is regular giving, so that the church can predict what it has coming in? If you want help with how to give regularly, do speak to one of the leadership team here. So is God calling us? If you feel he may be, perhaps after the service, have a chat with somebody. Even have a chat with the person you've come with, somebody who's sitting around you. Or perhaps come and find one of the leadership team to have a chat with. I'll close with this final thought from the reading. In fact, so much money was being given each morning that finally everyone stopped working and said, Moses, there is already more money than we need for what the Lord has assigned us to do. So Moses sent word for the people to stop giving, and they did. That would be an amazing state of affairs, wouldn't it? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for all that goes on here at St. Giles, all that goes on to build for the kingdom of God. We thank you for those people who are already giving of their time, who are already giving of their money, who are already giving of their talents. And we pray today that you will speak to us, that you will speak to us if there is anything that you would have us do, anything that you would have us give, anything that you would have us contribute to build for your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.